The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin.
Sup?
Live from Bar Canada, the D, downtown Las Vegas, on the morning after the first round of the National Football League draft. Oh boy. Before we get into all of that, let me just say, stacked show. Tim Murray, his thoughts on that. Paul Carr, Premier League. Chris Velika will join us. Jason Weingarten. Dan Bespris, best audio in the biz on the NBA. We'll get to all of it. Guardians update. We'll do it all heading into the last four games. But we got to start with the absolute madness of last night and the fact that, let me just say this, we know people who did great in the draft. We know people who got destroyed in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Kelly, you and me, kind of, it ended up being a nothing burger. We just kind of...
Well, let me put it this way. Yesterday on the show, if you told me I would squeak out a few bucks, I'd be like, give it to me right now.
Remember, I asked some guests, I was like, you take a $1,000 win or loss right now and move on? And we got different answers for that? That's basically negligible loss for me. It's like a rounding error. Let's go through this one by one, and we'll obviously crescendo to the eighth pick in the draft, because that is where this went haywire. Caleb Williams goes to the Bears. He goes into a great situation because they would draft, of course, Roma Dunze at 9 later. So you have a wide receiver room. You always love the room with not only a Dunze, but of course, Keenan Allen, people forget, yep. DJ Moore. It's just a great situation for a guy getting pick number one that doesn't typically work out that way. You typically go to a really bad team. Not the case here with the Bears.
We never really talked about it on the show either, but like, did you catch all the stories about them like working out together? Like, I thought it was kind of, you know, getting ahead of yourself a bit, like Roma Dunze and Caleb Williams working out at like Bears facilities and stuff over the past few weeks.
Caleb Williams, my big takeaway from Caleb Williams last night was how he projected confidence. Like, that guy does not lack confidence whatsoever. Mm-hmm. He's like, I've been here before. Then Washington, it was nice to hit a nothing but net elbow jumper to start off our draft betting. Jaden Daniels goes to the DC Skins, and he does it in a way that I don't think Washington ever wavered, quite frankly. And a week ago, I made my case as to why I never thought they wavered on that. Ended up getting that at a very low price when the market demanded that I actually bet it in a market that I had no intention of betting. Then the chalkity chalk continued. There were no trades at the top. Drake May went to New England at 3. Marvin Harrison Jr. went to Arizona at 4. And then at 5, Kelly, and this is where I thought, oh, this is going to be one of these epic drafts that I was so used to having for like 3 or 4 consecutive years. We used to bet the draft on a numbers game before any other before any other show on the network did. I really do. Like, that'll get lost in history. But we used to crush this draft back in the day. Years in a row. But Joe Alt goes to the Chargers at 5, plus 450. And that was the one where I just stuck to my guns about Jim Harbaugh said what he wants. He said he wanted to start the franchise with a cornerstone offensive lineman, a 10-year guy. Boom. There it is. Joe Alt, plus 450. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be a great draft. The other flyer was the intel on Roma Dunze going 6 to the Giants. That did not happen. They go Malik Nabers at 6. Then the Titans, who coveted an offensive lineman, they end up going with the second best offensive lineman by most people's draft boards, but really 1-2. They go J.C. Latham from Alabama, because if he couldn't get Alt, they would go Latham.
Yep.
And that one, it should be noted before we get to number 8. Remember that a lot of people, a lot of buzz on the Titans going wide out. And remember my story when I made my first bets at stations where I was like, wow, it's 7-1 and there's all this buzz. And I was like, wow, should I bet? And then I stopped myself and I'm like, this is the last position they need. They have DeAndre Hopkins.
That was one of the they got Calvin Ridley.
Ridley, Treylon Burks, Westbrook Akine. That was one of the weirdest rumors of the entire draft.
Completely agree.
And they end up going offensive line.
I mean, and before we even get to the big one here, I mean, this was, where were all the trades, right? Like, we're sitting there all we're talking about for the past 2 weeks is all these trades that are going to blow up these top, you know, at least 3 through 5. They were surely going to come, and none of them came.
Yeah, by the way, at VSiN.com, Adam Burke does a wonderful job. What happened in the first round? Very simple title. What happened in the first round of the NFL draft? And he notes that by the end, there were 6 trades. by the end of the draft, by the end of the first round of the draft, but not at the top. And then I have no way of proving that this draft would have gone wildly different had this not happened.
I mean, surely Dallas Turner's getting drafted here now, right, Gil? Everything's going to script. Like, our night's about to get even better.
This pick, we'll get to the football in a moment, but this pick destroyed three of my picks in one fell swoop. It was Dallas Turner. It was under 4.5 quarterbacks when you knew this happened. That was toast. I think there was another under I had on a Dunze, something like that. Michael Penix Jr. to the Atlanta Falcons, the pick that shook up the entire 2024 first round of the NFL draft. What the what? The Falcons, who had just committed $100 million guaranteed to Kirk Cousins, two of those years guaranteed, go with Michael Penix Jr. out of Washington. And the world was just, when Schefter got on screen and said, they are thinking about a quarterback, and specifically Penix, everyone's mouth just dropped.
Like, what? Now, what are you talking about?
We're like, what is going on? Cousins agent Mike McCartney told Pete Thamel from ESPN, he said the Falcons only notified the quarterback, Cousins that is, that they'd pick Penix while the team was on the clock. McCartney said there's frustration and confusion coming from Cousins' camp because Atlanta did not use its first-round pick to make the team better in 2024. Here's the quote. Yes, it was a big surprise. We had no idea this was coming. The truth is the whole league had no idea this was coming. We got no heads up. Kirk got a call from the Falcons when they were on the clock. That was the first we heard. It never came up in any conversation. Now, I want to be clear about this. By the way, see this little piece of paper right here? This is when I was making bets at stations. You know, they do that thing where they print it down. They're like, hey, do you want to keep this? Right, and I was like, no. Nah. Oh, yeah, let me keep it just in case. This is when I did. So what was this, 2 weeks ago? Less than 2 weeks ago? Position of Falcons first selection in 2024 draft, Kelly. Quarterback, 100-1. Right here.
I couldn't believe we even had the
100-1.
That's crazy. I can't believe DraftKings even had Falcons listed this short.
Yeah, I can't believe it.
I mean, why? Why would you have them?
So let me be clear about this now. Now, could Michael Penix end up being a good NFL quarterback and a really good NFL quarterback, or even a great NFL quarterback? Yes. Let's hold two thoughts in our heads at the same time. So he might. None of us are that savvy enough to know what he will end up being. Remember, I was the guy, I think I was one of the lone voices who I was like, Jordan Love might actually end up being good because he's holding a clipboard for all these years. But it didn't make the Jordan Love pick good either, even though the way that it worked out for the Packers was that Aaron Rodgers ended up having two really good years right after they picked Jordan Love. That's not the point. The point is that, and I lean in for this, Kelly, the object of the NFL, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, is to win a Super Bowl. So when you have Aaron Rodgers moving in age, up in age, right? The idea was you should probably improve the team, either offensively or defensively, to advance your cause towards that goal. Instead,
he had plenty of wide receivers. Come on.
Instead, what they effectively did was draft a guy who wasn't going to get on the field. Essentially, the Falcons are doing the same thing with Kirk Cousins. Imagine if yesterday the Jets had drafted a quarterback. Imagine, right? We would be losing our minds even more than this. But the truth is, this is the same thing.
It's the exact same thing. I was going to say, yeah. I mean, you just sunk all this money into Kirk Cousins, and at the age that he's at.
If you were going to do this, you should have never signed Kirk Cousins. Never.
Never. What's funny about it, this is the part I couldn't get over right away. Is none of this. We love Michael Penix Jr.
You and I talked
about this for months. How much we love the guy. What both the Falcons and Vikings did. If I just did a time machine back to a few months ago, I'd be like, oh well, this makes perfect sense. Surely JJ McCarthy is going to sit there and back up Kirk Cousins for a year or two, and this is a great transition plan in Minnesota. But not when you've got a 24-year-old rookie quarterback in Atlanta that you're drafting to sit behind him.
After that, the draft just sort of became. When that happened and it killed three of my bets in one shot, I was like, oh, all I have left is Jacksonville to draft a corner for like whether I'm going to win or lose this draft in the end.
Would you like to hear the Falcons GM explanation on the pick?
Please.
We have that one.
Absolutely.
Ready. Yeah.
Let's hear.
Fired up, man.
That if you believe in a quarterback, you have to take him. And if he sits for 4 or 5 years, that's a great problem to have because we're doing so well at that position. So it's just as simple as if you see a guy that you believe in at that position, you have to take him.
That's Terry Fontenot, by the way, Atlanta Falcons GM.
Got to take him.
No, you don't.
Oh, you don't. I know you don't.
I mean, if you're Kirk Cousins sitting at home. This is like RG3 2012, right? Skins draft him. Second pick of the draft. Fourth round. They're like, we're going to take this Kirk Cousins guy to Michigan State, too. And RG3 is probably like, what? Now this is Kirk Cousins.
That's a good comp. This is worse. Right. This is worse.
This is way worse. Yeah. I'm just saying from a coming back to Kirk Cousins kind of perspective, right? Cousins had to be sitting at home like, We didn't improve. I thought we were trying to win a Super. What are we doing? What are you doing? You didn't help us? By the way, defensively? I mean, neither.
Right. I can't imagine thinking the call was serious. Whenever they got the call, I would have been like, stop joking. Stop. Like, it's draft night. This is a big deal. Stop joking around. Stop joking.
You can quibble. Like, I thought the Jets were going to draft Brock Bowers to improve, you know, to go for it. They ended up going offensive tackle. That's a fair debate. But you're still improving your team. This was just off the charts bizarro and sent the draft into drunkenness. We'll get to some other things, including the Raiders pick and that odd trade at the end with the Chiefs and the Bills. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game live from Bar Canada at the D, downtown Las Vegas. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Can you tell I'm stalling, Kelly? Can you tell?
Nobody could until you said it, Gil.
Well, I thought maybe you guys should know. This is a great promo going on at DraftKings. $5 to win $200. You bet $5, you get $200 instantly in bonus bets. You bet now at DraftKings. Great deal, but you have to use the promo code VSIN. It's promo code VSIN. Bet $5, get $200. New customers instantly. Bonus bets with promo code VSIN. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. We also get texts. We also were like aware of other people's tweets that aren't directly to us. Drew Dinsick tweeted this. He said, think Fontenot is the only person on earth who had a worse draft day than I did. Drew tweeted that out. Cleve DM'd me. Cleve TA DM'd me yesterday. He said, I was on a YouTube show when the eighth pick happened, and it's literally the most stunned I've been for a top 10 pick that I can remember. Just horrendous process. The guy is 24. By the time Cousins is out, he'll be 27 and no idea if he can play. It's incredible. And then Cleve tweeted this out this morning, and he's one of the best. Cleve Tay, one of the best football followers you could have. He tweeted out this morning. This is great because he had time to sleep on it. He said, woke still stunned at Penix to Atlanta. I've watched the draft since I was like 7 and can't recall a more flabbergasting pick. They knew they had the eighth pick and would be there when they courted and signed Cousins. It's not like he had a free fall into the 20s or something.
Correct.
Just all of it is inexplicable.
So like, yes. I mean, how long were they thinking and planning this?
It's incredible.
Also, if this didn't happen.
It's surreal to a point.
It really is. Yeah. One of the things I'm thinking about right now as you're reading what Cleve wrote you, would this have been kind of a boring draft if that didn't happen?
Sort of.
You know what I mean? Like, it kind of played out at the top.
Well, because we don't know how it would have gone had it not happened that way. Dallas Turner goes eight, right? And then everybody's like, you know.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah.
This is from Chris Jason. Buffalo should grab A.D. Mitchell today. No loss by trading down. Franklin and Kool-Aid also available. Here's the thing about A.D. Mitchell. Can we decide on what we're going to call him? Yeah, A.D. Mitchell. Then people say Adonai Mitchell. And then, of course, those on the leaflet and those in the mishpucha, we say Adonai Mitchell, which I think is how you really should pronounce it. Just want to say it. You know, just want to be clear about that.
Oh, man.
Michael, let's see. This is from Jack Locks. had Penix to go in the top five at 200-1 and him in the top 10 at 17-1. Good for you, man.
Yeah, good for you.
And then Steven Vegas, when the Cousins signing to Atlanta happened, I beat MGM to the line moves on Cousins MVP and Atlanta Conference Championship. I'm the smartest guy in the room. Then I saw that Penix pick at 8 and cashed out both those bets at no loss. Thankful for that option. Atlanta will never win anything.
Wow.
That's Steven Vegas. I just want to say this before we get to Paul Carr. Here's the bow on the draft for me. As a guy who loved betting the NFL draft, and for year after year after year, if only we had the tape to prove it, right? My pinned tweet is still me going after Will Hill for the bets. That was in 2018, right? We crushed the draft. 2018, 2019, 2020, 2021, 2022. Every year. And then last year was a disaster, and this year there was no profit at all. And it coincides directly with the NFL becoming really tight-lipped about the draft. So now, can you have a year where you do really well like Matt Eumanns did, like Will Hill did? Yes, you can. But can you count on this being a tried-and-true, profitable, big-time sports betting vehicle year after year anymore? And I believe the answer is no longer. I believe that is over.
I thought the past couple years have been interesting, and I think the talk around all that this year was really fascinating. We were talking about during the break. I don't even know what his final tally was, but I do want to make sure we bring this up. Matt Eumanns, on his mock draft article, his mock draft and best bets article, 9-1 on bets in that article. The only one he missed out on was a 9-1 shot for the Bears to draft a defense or offensive lineman with their second pick.
Good on you, Eumanns.
Killed it.
Paul Carr joined us, everybody. Courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at Paul Carr, C-A-R-R. Comes to us from the Extended Value Podcast. The Expected Value Podcast. That'd be a different podcast. The Expected Value Podcast. And, of course, True Media Networks. Paulie from Topeka, Kansas, right here. I want your Dolphins perspective. And then, because you're in Kansas, I want your Chiefs perspective. What do you got?
Dolphins perspective with my Dolphins friends. Like, Chop Robinson seems like a good player. I have questions. Look, I'm not a huge college football guy. But I don't know. If you're that good a pick, you only have 4 sacks. Your last season seems a little weird to me.
It's a good point, by the way.
I'm just asking. I'm genuinely asking. Like, it seems odd to me. The stats seem lower, but again, I'm fine with it. The Dolphins need an edge rusher among.
Well, he's a linebacker though, isn't he? I mean, that's right. Part of it, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's probably usage as much as anything. Now, my Chiefs friends were super excited. The best part of the draft was like the minute between the Chiefs have traded up and the Chiefs make a pick, because it reminded me a little bit of when they traded up to get Mahomes. You didn't know for sure who it was, but you know, if Andy Reid's trading up, it's probably going to be for an offensive weapon. So that was super excited. So all my Chiefs fans are very happy that they seem to have a speedy deep threat who can actually catch the ball. So,
well, because this more is, this is their ancestry, right? Tyreek Hill to Kadarius Toney to now Xavier Worthy, right? It's a, you can draw the line. Yeah. And again, the shout out Mike Greenberg. Yeah. I just thought he was great. He so got it in the moment. Nobody else seemed to on the panel. He's like, no, you just don't understand what happened. The Bills need a wideout and traded that pick to the team they've been chasing desperately all these years, who then drafted Xavier Worthy a wideout. This is incredible. Fastest wideout in the draft. All right, to the other football, the beautiful game, the global football. Yeah. Liverpool lost. Have we had we have Felica coming up. Do we have a health check on Felica about this?
I have been afraid to text him anything. This is one of those, you know, something bad happens to somebody, you just kind of let him be, and they'll reopen the lines of communication when they're ready.
Yeah.
So I'm going to listen with you and make sure he's okay before texting him about it. But yeah, they're pretty much out of the title race, like plus 3,500 to win the title now, well behind Arsenal and City.
Wow. Man City minus 250, Arsenal plus 225, Liverpool 35-1. It is over. Everton, was that who beat them? Everton beat them?
Yeah, big rivalry, yep.
Jeez, wow. All right, what do we got this weekend, sir?
We're going to start with the Everton game. Everton-Brentford is on Saturday. I'm going over 2.5 at minus 120. I know Everton is dead last in total goals this season, but it's still about 2.5 per game on average. Two-thirds of Brentford games have had 3-plus goals. That's fifth most in the league. I think both these teams will loosen up after Everton's win over Liverpool. Everton's not completely safe from relegation, but it would take a very unlikely series of events for them to get relegated. So they're virtually safe. So, yeah, just like the trend of goals all season. I think that's what we have here. So -120 on an over 2.5 is always going to look good to me the rest of the year.
It is an official Paul Carr segment. We have an over 2.5 Everton and Brentford tomorrow. And then you have a thought on Newcastle and Sheffield United.
Yeah, both these next two plays are, again, I reference this, but it's the Dr. Bob quote about if you must win, you must not be very good. So Sheffield United is relegated with a loss here. So, you know, in theory, there's some desperation. But look, they're just not good. Newcastle, I'm going to lay the goal and a half +125. They're the fifth best team at home this season. Multiple goals in 2/3 of their home games. And if you throw out the top three teams, they've won half of their home games by multiple goals. So fairly straightforward here. Sheffield, not very good, even worse on the road. Fewest goals, worst goal difference on the road this season. I know Newcastle's a little bit tired and battling some injuries, but they're just that much better. They're at home. I'll lay the goal and a half here.
All right, and then speaking of Man City, and let me just go to the Premier League table. So right now, Arsenal with 77 points, four games left. Man City, 76 points, but five matches left. You have a play on Man City here.
So City just won at Brighton 4-0 earlier during the midweek. Brighton is a lot better than Nottingham Forest. And now City is going to Nottingham Forest. And to lay a goal and a half, you can get -115, -120 maybe on Sunday. I have played that. Forest, again, much worse than Brighton. City's just starting to cook. They've won their last four by a combined 17-4. And those aren't fluky numbers compared to what their expected goals and their shots look like. They've won half their league games by multiple goals. And they've won all 11 games versus the bottom six teams. And eight of those 11 were by multiple goals. So this is pretty straightforward. City crushes weaker opponents. And they're obviously chasing down the titles. They need to keep cooking. And they don't have Champions League to worry about because they're out of that. So there's no, you know, looking ahead to next week in the semifinals because City just has this title to focus on. So I'll lay the goal and a half at -115 with Man City at Nottingham Forest.
All right. Everton, Brentford, over 2.5 goals tomorrow. Newcastle giving up the goal and a half, -1.5 plus money versus Sheffield United. And then Sunday, Man City laying the goal and a half at Nottingham Forest. Paul, always a pleasure, man. Thank you so much.
You bet. We'll talk to you next week. Champions League semifinals.
Yes. Looking forward to that.
Oh,
Paul Carr, everybody. Courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You know, I buried the headline. You know what the most entertaining, or I should say that. By entertaining, I mean most cringy part of the draft was last night. The very first thing that happened, Goodell comes out. They're booing him. Then they bring out Eminem, and Goodell refers to Eminem as, "Get out here, M." And I'm like, oh, okay.
Somehow you missed all the commercials for the past 2 weeks.
Sakes, he called him M. Chris Felica next.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, live from Barcanada, the barrage, the D, downtown Las Vegas. I just want to read this one tweet because we have Jason coming up, Jason Weingarten, Dan Besbris on the NBA playoffs. Kind of a ho-hum NBA playoffs night. Well, not completely.
Well,
but mostly.
It just got, the draft maybe could. I mean, Joel Embiid was ridiculous last year. We'll talk about that next segment.
That's the biggest thing. It was Joel Embiid. Oh, we got the Guardians scenarios to come up with, too. That's exclusively on a numbers game at VSiN. You will not see this on major media networks. April baseball scenarios.
All the scenarios that need to happen for the team to have the best record by the end of the month of April.
That's right. They're not aware of this elsewhere. I just want to read this one tweet. Donation. Doe, D-O-U-G-H. Get it? There might be good value on Worthy Rookie of the Year, Xavier Worthy Rookie of the Year, if he has even an above-average season. Mahomes make everyone around him look better. If the Chiefs have a better regular season than last year, people will say Worthy was the quote-unquote missing piece. And to that you say?
I say I bet it about 2.5 minutes ago. 18-1 here in town at BetMGM. Worth a flyer to me. Are you
there
kidding
it is.
Me? Chiefs trade up for that pick. Xavier Worthy.
Caleb,
Paul Carr and I were just talking about it off the air. It could be like two catches a game and like a touchdown and 80 yards. That's fine. Right.
Caleb Williams is 2-1. He's the short shot. Makes sense. Marvin Harrison Jr. is actually 6-1. Shorter than Jaden Daniels at +650. J.J. McCarthy 8-1 with the Vikings. Then it's Neighbors 9-1. Drake May 16-1 because I don't know if you know this. He plays for the Patriots. Then Worthy right there. You got him at 18-1. Bo Nix is in there at 18-1 again just because he's a quarterback and so he has the opportunity to do so. Odunze and Bowers rounds out the board at 25-1. Let's bring in Chris Felica. He is the Bear. I don't know if you know that. He is the Bear. Not a Bear. The Bear. He's the host of the Bear Bets podcast over at Fox Sports. He joins us courtesy of the Progressive guest line. Chris, how was your draft? How did it go?
It went very well. It was a really good night. And you asked me the question right off the bat, so I didn't get a chance to just drop in the now we don't have to bother with these silly formalities, Mr. White. That was a great Eddie Murphy Saturday Night Live reference earlier in the show.
Thank you very much.
It did not get over my head.
Thank you.
A great skipping. But no, it was really great. The over quarterbacks, the over wide receivers, alt going five, because we knew it was going to be an either or, all alt or Latham. Jackson Paris Johnson not getting drafted was huge. Latham going under four. It was a good night. I got a little silly trying to get a middle on Wiggins because he drifted up to 29.5. So I figured 27, 28, 29, and three picks. So I missed by one. And then, of course, Murphy getting one pick behind Latu for the best top defensive player. Like that was the thing that the Penix pick really screwed up, was like picks 8 through 15 or so. Because, I mean, the assumption, I mean, it was going to go over, the quarterbacks were going to go over anyway, because maybe the Raiders would have taken Penix. Someone was going to take Penix. It was going to go over the 4.5. But I think the fact that the Falcons didn't take a defensive player like they should have, nor did they trade the pick like they could have as well to recoup some picks, like that completely screwed up everything following down, including, I think, like the Broncos, it did sound like, I heard you earlier, it did sound like Michael Lombardi had some pretty good intel that it was going to be the Broncos that took Knicks, but I think they were probably going to trade down a little bit and maybe you want to take him at like 19 or 20 or something. And once Penix went early, that kind of screwed some things up. So, it was a really good night overall for me.
Good for you. Because as I'll say it for a third time, the widest variance in draft betting results there may ever be. Certainly there has been, but may ever be. So, I mean, some people destroyed, some people got destroyed. And Kelly and I was like one big nothing burger, generally speaking. Let me ask you this question. Okay, so Penix, I think we all agree, like, again, it's two different thoughts. He may end up being good. That's not the point of the draft, right? It's a Jordan Love situation. I was here defending Jordan Love for years. Like, when you hold the clipboard for 3 years, you usually turn out pretty good, and that turned out. Doesn't mean it was a good pick, right, at the time.
No. And that's the and it's really not even a Jordan Love situation. Like I'm getting worked up when people talk about it that way. Like, the Packers were a perennial playoff team that didn't have a ton of like pressing needs. Jordan Love was 21. It was a 24th pick in the draft. This is the 8th pick in the draft, and you're taking a quarterback that's going to be 24.
You're right.
And Vinfano to come out and be like, oh, well, if he doesn't play for 4 years, that's a good. I'm like, no, it's not. It means you're going to have a 27, 28-year-old quarterback who you spent the 8th pick on the draft on with defensive needs, and you have no idea if he could even play. It was just either you had immediate buyer's remorse on Kirk Cousins. They were like, yeah, I don't know if we should have given him $110 million guaranteed, or you screwed up the 8th pick. It's one or the other.
Yeah, I was just bringing up the Jordan Love thing to, again, get to the whole thing of you have to hold two thoughts in your heads at the same time. Just because someone may end up being good doesn't mean it's the correct pick at the time. So I want to remove Michael Penix, because we're not going to see if Kirk Cousins plays fine and stays healthy, we'll probably not see much of Michael Penix this year. So I want you to put on, you go into the future here. Who is the first, who gets, as you see the season playing out with the Patriots and the Broncos, who do you think ends up getting crushed more? Drake May as a New England Patriots starting quarterback, or the Bo Nix era in Denver? Where do you see this? Like, if we project to like guessing lines in the Megapod and we're in the middle of, you know, week 4 and then week 5, who do you think gets destroyed first, where we're like, oh, this was horrible?
Probably Drake May and the Patriots, because he was third overall. And they just don't have any players around them on offense. Now, I'm sure they'll address that today and take a wide receiver or so. But like, May was viewed as you listen to Merrill Hodge and listen to other draft Knicks players before the, like, everyone's like, he's got to sit a year and he's going to be thrown right into the fire. Cause they, I mean, they're not going to, I mean, I would assume they're not going to start Jacoby Brissett. I mean, they, if they do, then more power to them, and that's a great thing to do. But I think ultimately it'll be Drake May and the Patriots who wind up getting crushed a little bit more, because I do think Denver is a little bit further along in terms of the personnel that they have around Bo Nix. But I was cracking up with the, oh, he's the highest rated, highest completion percentage ever. Yeah, he's throwing the ball 4 yards downfield. Of course you're going to complete 90% of your passes if you're throwing the ball 4 yards out of behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah. There are some books that have second round bets available tonight. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I would think, so what do we got? We got Buffalo picking first, right?
Yeah.
You would assume like wide receiver might be the play with A.D. Mitchell or Ladd McConkey, someone like that. I think Newton, the defensive lineman from Illinois, will probably go off the board pretty early as well. But I would think one of those wide receivers, whether it was whether it's Mitchell or McConkey, would probably be an early pick here. And then Newton was a pick that I actually, that was one of my, I don't want to say bigger losses, but that was something I was wrong about. I did play him to be picked in the first round, and he wasn't, so that hurt a little bit. But I think those three, one of those three guys will probably be off the board pretty early today.
Who's going to take the corner from Iowa? Cooper DeJean. Who's going to take him?
And are they
going to keep him as a corner? Or are they going to make him a safety? That's the real thing I want to know.
That's the thing. Well, what is, the Chargers probably need defensive help there, right? Yeah. That could be a possibility. But again, they're another team that, man, we're going to see, like, the reaction to the first round might be a whole lot different after tonight when you see the Chargers take Joe Walt and then a wide receiver at the top of the second round,
right?
or like what wide receiver the Patriots now get to pair with Drake May. Like, we're going to get a better, a more fuller idea of how these teams actually are built up.
Yeah, like I said, every GM today is like, we couldn't believe he was still on the board. It's like a Jackie Mason thing. What was the best? You're a college football observer, Barn, you know, mm-hmm. above all. What was mm-hmm. the best second half of the first round pick made in this draft, in your opinion? Oh, we just lost Chris.
I
thought he was deep in thought. We got a freeze frame on him. Oh, he's back. Okay, start again, Chris. I thought you were deep in thought.
I was deep in thought. Yeah. I was going to say, I don't like what Minnesota did to trade back up to get Dallas Turner, but I think he's the player that would, I mean, I think he's an immediate impact player on that defense. Obviously, I think Xavier Worthy is going to be the player that everybody points to there, and obviously that is a great pick. But I think if you're looking for like immediate, like super impact, Dallas Turner, I think, is a guy who we all thought was going to go in the top 10, and for him to be there at 17, and the Vikings gave up a lot both to get McCarthy and Turner, so it better work out for them as well. The Falcons were the big loser in the draft, and we'll see how it pans out for Minnesota. They got the guys that they wanted, but they gave up a lot of future equity to get those guys.
I don't know how much interviews impress or don't impress you, or how much you care about interviews. I'm always interested to see how these kids react to stuff. I was saying Caleb Williams, like, just brimming with confidence. Caleb Williams is like, this is nothing. This is first. Who cares? But I loved both cornerbacks who the Jaguars notably did not select. One right before them, one right after them. Quinyon Mitchell and Terrion Arnold. Who do you think is better?
I mean, I did not see a whole lot of Mitchell this year. I did not watch a whole lot of Toledo. But anytime you're taking an Alabama defensive back, and obviously the Eagles have a lot of experience, or the Lions rather have a lot of experience with Alabama defensive backs. Like it's a good position. And to listen to Nick Saban last night talk about Arnold and the type of kid that he is.
Yeah.
Who's Miss Terry's favorite player at Alabama. I think in that scheme, he's got a chance to be good. By the way, we got a bet for today. I'm going to go with the QPR winner draw plus 140 against Leeds in the championship. Leeds is fighting for one of those automatic promotion spots. They're on the road, they haven't been a great road team. QPR is looking for a couple of points to save off relegation. QPR plus 140. Winner draw.
All right, we'll repeat that back. And he looks okay that Liverpool lost. That doesn't seem to be a problem.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the final, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code VSiN. New customers bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code VSIN, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada at the D on A Numbers Game. We get tweets at Beat of the Book. Always appreciate everybody. Best listeners, honestly, you really are. We appreciate you so much. Trey Edge, I had Bell's palsy recently. One eye couldn't blink for weeks. Countless diet dews streaming down the outside of my mouth and down my face. Not a pretty sight. Usually takes months to recover. So what Embiid is doing is amazing. That's from someone who had Bell's palsy.
It's incredible.
Thank you for that, Trey.
I know Embiid said yesterday, too, it's, you know, he really started to feel it just before that play-in game, and that was...
Yes, he started to feel that. That's a good point. Right before the Miami play-in game.
Because we were talking that day after, and I was shocked watching that game because it looked like it was more than a knee. It looked like something else was going on.
That's right. You kept saying it. Why is he so exhausted?
Yeah.
That's right. And now it all makes sense.
Now it all makes sense, yep.
Martle, for your Cleveland most wins ticket where you borrowed Adam Burke's team for the spring, would you consider taking the Braves series price for a small amount? That's another way I could hedge it. Yes. You're absolutely right.
I'm glad that got tweeted. I was going to ask you about that.
That's another way. Maybe I will do that.
I think those series bets have become a little bit more common around the country.
I'll see what the price is, and I'll try to figure it out. Because the other way to play it is if Cleveland somehow wins tonight, well, then I just delay the hedging one more night also kind of thing. So we'll see. I'll take a look at the pitching matchup, what the projected game two line will be. But, yeah, we will not lose money on this. I promise you that. Robert Busa. Oh, this is a great question, Robert, and you're thinking along with the host here. He says, can you ask Jason when Preston and Jason are going to have their own docuseries on FX? So it's funny because, Robert, as I was talking to Jason there and I was looking at the clock, if there had been time, I might have asked Jason this very question because I was thinking to myself, and then when there was no time, I was like, I'm just going to wait for Preston to come on. If Preston is able to come on, I'm going to ask him this. Preston and Jason and all those guys and their buddy Sean, who's like the real NFT billionaire of it all, they literally, we went to dinner and they were talking about doing a documentary on Crawley and Preston's entire journey, making this boatload of cash, buying a soccer team, just absolutely hated by the fan base, this Yankee coming in and trying all these money ball tactics. Here they are on the cusp of the playoffs now. They were going to do this entire documentary. And then this Ryan Reynolds dude comes in and basically bites their entire idea. And now he's like beloved more than anything in his whole career for Wrexham.
Yeah.
He totally killed their idea.
Power of Hollywood there.
Totally going to ask Preston about
that. I think it's still a great idea just because of the beginnings. And I mean, the NFT stuff and everything, which is incredible. I mean, incredible story.
CryptoPunks was their thing?
Yeah. CryptoPunks, yep.
I'd love to explain it all to you guys, but I have no idea how to.
I think Matt owns a couple of those, I believe. CryptoPunks.
Matt Brown?
Yeah.
Really? Is he owning a soccer team?
No. Just a couple CryptoPunks.
I have a tennis play, by the way. Tennis play.
Braves minus 285 to win the series.
Yeah, see, no. I'm gonna do a game by game. They're $2 favorites tonight. I'm not going to do anything with that game. And if somehow Cleveland wins, then again, you've not hedged at that point, and we'll take one more game not hedging. And then if they lose that one, then we'll do it for game three, that kind of thing. So I'll just prolong it as much as I can, but I promise you we'll lock in a profit. So here's the deal. So we're about to hit our tennis highs. Hard court season was unbelievable. Up 26 units in hard court season. And then Clay, we're sort of spinning our wheels here in tennis. All of the picks of every host, every guest, and every sport at VSiN.com/picks. And then a couple days ago when we were in that DraftKings meeting, I'm watching a score about to hit the season high. Anna Bogdan gacks a match point, and we lose that match. And then ever since then, it's like 4 or 5 matches in a row now. Like, it's a handful of matches where I have not won. So we're off our season high. So I'm almost hesitant to give us, because it's like, okay, why hasn't this worked out this week in Madrid? But I do have one more play today. And it's one of those where if we win it, we're back to only being 3 units behind the season high. So instead of 26 right now, we're at 21 units to the positive. I am on Mariano Navone. Mariano Navone. He's an Argentine. He's a great clay court player. He has great clay court numbers. He's plus 193. I got him at 2-1. I got him at plus 200 last night, VSiN.com/picks. He's at plus 193. Still very much playable against Holge Natskov Vitas Rune. Kelly's favorite player.
Do they still have all the names listed?
Yeah. No. I mean, not in every place.
We've chopped down.
Did I say them in the proper order? I'm curious.
I think you did. I'm trying to find them in the match.
Oh, right no, now. I said them in the wrong order. Holger Vitas Natskov Rune.
DraftKings has gone to just the two names.
Most have, but I'm never going to just say the two names. So the play is on Mariano Navone at plus 193. Again, I got him at plus 200 last night for subscribers at VSiN.com/picks. That's the play, and that starts, scheduled to start, you know how tennis tournaments work, in about 30 minutes.
Plus right. 205 over at DraftKings.
Oh, there you go. Okay, so you can even get a better number. NBA, the only game we didn't talk about last night, because the series between the Nuggets and Lakers is over, y'all. It's over. No one has ever come back from a 3-0 deficit in the history of the NBA to win a playoff series. Remember, the Celtics got close last year against the Heat, but they got stomped in Game 7 at home against the Heat. It's not happening. The Denver Nuggets are on the cusp of pulling off a second consecutive playoff sweep in 2 consecutive years against the LA Lakers. And I just want to say this, that Lakers got out to a lead yesterday, not quite the big lead like they did in the first 2 games, but when the draft was petering out yesterday, and so I think we all turned to the game, Denver wasn't exactly playing great in the fourth quarter. Like, the Lakers had all the chances in the world, and there was just nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing there. AD after game 2, killing Darvin Ham without saying his name. Like, there's a bunch of times we didn't, for stretches where we didn't know what we're doing on either side of the court. Lakers are done. We said before the playoffs, Kelly, that this Western Conference playoffs could be epic. It has not been. At all.
No.
With the exception of the Clippers and the Mavs being knotted up.
Let's give it a little time. Give it a little time.
You're right. It's early. But
Phoenix could turn, too. I think that could turn into a series.
Maybe.
I'm hoping it turns into a series because I got over 5.5
games. Let's put it this way. This isn't the start we expected. This has been, I mean, we have one that's 3-0, two that's 2-0, and we do have the Clippers and the Mavericks 1-1. I would just suggest that the Eastern Conference with the Sixers and the Knicks, and some would say the Pacers and the Bucks. I won't because there's no Giannis. But I will say, to me, still, the Heat and the Celtics is still the headline grabber for me. Like, I'm more excited for than anything.
I mean, we talked about that yesterday, right? It's amazing how one win,
it's incredible.
You change everything about that series. And that's not even just the fans' mindset. That has to be in the Celtics' minds right now,
too. Of course.
Like, you roll into playoffs with all that confidence, and then you take one loss at home against the Miami Heat, and we are right back to where we've been so many times before.
All right, the early game. By the way, we also got a tweet from PAW who's like, the reason that there's an early NBA game, he says, is because of the NFL draft tonight. I go, yeah, but then why wasn't it yesterday? We don't care as much about the second round of the NFL draft. Yesterday, they should have been an early game, like you said. Tonight, or this afternoon then, the early game is the Pacers. Pacers are 6-point favorites against the Bucks. Game 3, series knotted up at 1 apiece. Total 223.5. Any play?
Nothing for me on that one. Middleton is questionable if you are looking at betting this, and I think seriously questionable because this line has gotten through the 5 up to the 6. Here on the Pacers. Sidewise, it'd be Pacers or pass for me. But nothing in that game. Clippers-Mavericks, I was considering putting a game bet in on that one tonight on the Mavericks side, but no Tim Hardaway Jr. tonight. Not great. He is out with an injury. That is
Mavs favored by 4.5 in game 3. That series knotted up at 1 apiece.
Yeah, Gafford also questionable for them. That's going to be interesting to watch how those injuries play out. Tim Hardaway Jr., for as much as I might have ripped on him during the year for, six-man consideration, him not really belonging with some of the other guys. I thought he's still one of the very few guys on the Mavericks roster not named Luka Doncic or Kyrie Irving that can score consistently. So him not being in is kind of fascinating. I did play a Luka 40-plus point prop at like 3-1, just I think coming back home. Again, no Tim Hardaway Jr. A lot of the scoring is going to have to fall on Luka and Kyrie. So I did play that in that game. I'd lean to the Mavericks side still, though, in that.
Suns 4-point favorites trying to get off the schneid against the T-Wolves.
I don't know how you can back the Suns right now. I'm hoping they pull it out. I'll be rooting for them because I got that series bet over 5.5 games. Timberwolves just looking real strong so far. So it's going to be interesting. Is this a classic NBA playoffs? Come home, everything turns around. You got veteran players like Kevin Durant, like Devin Booker. Are you able to take care of business? I'm kind of expecting that, but I'm not betting on it.
You laying the 3 with the Nuggets tomorrow, game 4 closeout?
I am. I'm glad you brought that up because I'm going to. I think we said gentleman sweep yesterday.
Yeah, maybe not.
I think LeBron AD thrown in the towel. Let's just call it over.
Are you taking the 9 with the Heat in game 3?
No. No, I'm just going to be a Heat fan. What did I say? I'm not betting on him or against
him. Because I'm going to crawl across his table and slap you in the neck. You told me I could. Let's go, Mariano Nivone. Let's go, Guardians. Go join Golicker next. Enjoy.